Every entrepreneur has been there.
Growing pains
obstacles make you
growth
stronger.
Gains.
It's the challenges that cause us to level up.
The Company Growth Podcast inspires you to keep going through the pain. I'm your host, Alicia Dominico.
The publishing industry is heartbreaking. It is long. It is heartbreaking. But these books are like a part of yourself, right? And when you get a bad critique or you have a bad day, it's devastating. You know, the nuances of the inner Google just make me want to cry sometimes. You know.
This is Julie Kingsley, writer and co-founder of the Manuscript Academy, a writer's conference online that also brings authors into contact with top literary agents and editors monthly to help writers develop their craft. We're talking about the reasons why Julie decided to start the Manuscript Academy with her co-founder, Jessica Sinsheimer.
The Manuscript Academy, like its early embers, were on the dying flames of an old startup that I had. And I think that happens a lot. I think a lot of us that have startups that work had startups that didn't work. So I had a digital marketing company where we were early in augmented reality. And it was interesting. It was, you know, we went through the whole startup culture here in Portland, Maine. We were part of Top Gun, which is an amazing accelerator. We were the hottest startup in Maine, and we still failed. And when I pivoted to the Manuscript Academy, I kind of felt like, one, I was coming into the space where my skill sets were coming together in all different ways. So I've taught mass communications out of college. I've taught for a traditional classroom for 10 years. I've been a writer. I ran writing conferences. So it actually felt like I was very comfortable in my wheelhouse when I started the Manuscript Academy. I knew I wanted it to be a happy place for writers. I knew that there were writers that didn't have access to writing conferences that can cost, I mean, honestly, between $500 and $1,000 for the weekend. And, you know, just to get that feedback. And so I think in a lot of ways, we were fairly early on that run. And we started with some real business plans. We set our goal, which is to be the happiest place in writing. And we knew that if we slowly worked our way up, you know, without funding, you know, with natural growth, that we had something from the get-go, because our participants were amazing. You know, like it's just been a pleasure.
But becoming the happiest place in writing wasn't easy. Even when you have an amazing niche and a really cool audience you're passionate about helping, entrepreneurs still face growing pains. Julie told me more about some of the obstacles they faced in the early days of the Manuscript Academy. And in that time, in 4 years, so a lot of that's the big TSN turning moment for a lot of companies is, do they make it to year five or not? But you guys are clearly on your way. I've seen a lot of growth from you this year alone, and new programs you're rolling out, and offerings that you're just adding, continuing to add value. You've also just done your first hire of an employee, if I'm correct in saying that. So you guys are, you know, you're on an upward trend of growth here, which is great to see. But one of the things, and the reason I wanted to have you on today, was you've done an amazing job at building online community. And a lot of companies would be super envious of that. They would want to know, how do we get more engagement from our Facebook groups? How do we get people to show up to our live events? So can you talk a little bit about how you have, what are the foundations of your success there?
So we're in year four. And I think at the end of year three, I was like, we're not getting the traffic. I knew that we needed to work on that. And we had multiple websites and multiple strategies before we went to the membership side. So the whole idea in theory was that we were a conference, you come for a month, you know, and then we're like, well, this feels stifling. And so then we slowly started opening up kind of just different doors of opportunities. I think it can be a little bit confusing to our customers. That's something we're trying to tighten up all those pieces now. But what's interesting to me, sometimes people will say, well, I know you're a podcast. I didn't know you sold, you know, these critiques, or I know you did events, but I didn't know you did this. And so communicating all of those things can be difficult. And even though I feel like we put it out there and put it out there and put it out there, you know, there's always things you can do. And there's always kind of like, I call it the nip and tuck of a business, you know, where you only can do so much in a day. And as a startup, there is startup whack-a-mole. And I think startup whack-a-mole is when you're like, okay, this year I'm going to be a CPA, I'm going to be a marketing professional, I'm going to create content, I'm going to be a podcaster. I don't know how to be a podcaster. I have a, you know, my voice is a little creaky. Sorry, everyone. You know, I'm going to also, you know, have a family. I teach as well at a college. You know, I also write. So there's definitely a feeling of, okay, you need to learn how to prioritize all the things on your plate. And so what I do is I through line all of my goals. I figure out each month where I think the hottest things that I need to deal with are. The last 2 months for me has really been about, you know, really just buttoning up. We're going to move to an S-Corp, you know, and just really kind of like diving into that whole world of taking that next step in your business versus just an LLC partnership. But those things, like every time you do those things, it's hard. It takes more time than you think it should. So if you have your processes of your day-to-day kind of organized, and then you have the things that you want to do, then you can nip and tuck your business. Like, you know you need it, but sometimes there's not time to find it. So I think this trick is how to make yourself not crazy, how you can still have growth while you're making everyone happy, and how you can nip and tuck on the sides. I mean, honestly, no one knows. Like right now, you guys have no idea if I'm in my bed, right? You have no idea the back end. You have no idea if this part of the business is a little messy or it feels looser, right? And that's okay. Like, businesses are fluid, in my opinion. A digital business is certainly fluid. And so I think it is about like finding the heat and where you need to go, and then finding support to help you with buttoning up that SEO, with you know, creating a different marketing plan than you've had before, testing different marketing plans, you know, testing different sales plans, you know. And I would say sometimes we've made things that haven't worked, and I feel like we've opened doors to things, and then we've like, oh, and we had to slam the door shut, you know, because we couldn't handle whatever that piece of the business was.
Because Julie had mentioned how often good ideas come from the smoldering ashes of our previous ideas, I wanted to dig deeper into the creation of the Manuscript Academy and how it was started from a point in her life when things weren't going quite right. This is in keeping with my belief that sometimes, as Napoleon Hill says, we stop digging when we're 3 feet from gold.
I mean, to be dead on honest with you, I think it's really difficult to start a company with 4 people. You know, and when you have 4 people and some people are working and some people aren't working, and you're not really having that balance, but you're equal owners, and it just, and, you know, and you're in a legal agreement with other people, you need to really decide, you know, what that looks like and what you're getting into before you get into it. I mean, I could see the book we were in beta with, end up being on beta with the scanning technology, with a book that went on to hit the New York Times, a movie's coming out about it. You know, like, all we needed to do was get the tech built out enough so that people could use it. And, you know, if a couple pieces of the cog aren't working effectively, everything's not working effectively. And that's why when I met Jessica and I realized that our brains worked really well together, that I had this entrepreneurial background, she had this platform, we both were really similar in how we saw writing. The story of how I met her was, my business was in flames. I got in a fight with my business partner, the SEO of my former company, at the Book Expo of America. And I was in a bus, and there was a woman in front of me, and I was kind of frantic to get to this particular street, and I thought I was going to miss it. My phone was dead and the whole thing. And I said, can you get out? Can you move? Because I was trying to get off the bus. And she's like, in New York City, we wait for the doors to open before departing the bus. And we started laughing. It was so funny. And we were laughing so hard that she invited me to a party in New York City. And I went to the party and met Jessica and invited her to a conference I was running. And at the conference, we were watching all these people around a campfire talking about writing. We're like, why does this have to be once a year? You know, so it was kind of like one of those things that I knew what worked. I could see what was going to make my other business work. And I knew that I needed someone that had a similar vision and was, you know, honestly, was open to failure, right? And open to try something new. It's real. I think it is difficult to find people with that mindset. And with that, we spent a lot of time brainstorming. We spent a lot of time, you know, building brand, but we also spent a lot of time, you know, tweaking and going slow. And I do think that a lot of people kind of just like put something online and they think, okay, this is going to be huge. And it's way more difficult than it looks. So keeping small and nimble is my biggest advice to anyone out there. You know, like going in with four or five people, it seems like a good idea, but unless all those wheels and the cogs are working, it can be difficult.
From the perspective of someone whose business is online all the time, I wanted Julie to tell me what she thought was the best advice for anyone who needs to either move their business online or grow their business online.
Publishing is hard, you know, and I would say just like utilizing social media. I mean, we were really lucky, and we were really lucky because Jessica Sinsheimer, my business partner, had a great online platform prior to us starting, so we had a jump start. I do think it's difficult to build online communities cold. I think it's harder because Jessica had been so active in really amazing products like a manuscript wish list, which is it's a site that a writer can go in and put down what they write, say, hashtag pigs and picture books, for instance. You'll actually find an agent that might be looking for pigs and picture books. You know, so she did that for free. She did MSL days, really starting and building that community online. And that was super helpful when we started the Manuscript Academy. Our element of trust was already there. And I would say if you're going to try to build that in your own business, it is about providing something, anything, to your customers for free before you're asking them to give you money on the internet, you know, a mission, a cause, something you can give back to. Those are all things that can really help. But I do think, you know, I am a teacher running a class. This is like running a classroom. You know, it's very, very similar. The skills I learned there, the skills I learned waitressing, the skills I learned bartending, the skills I learned as a ski instructor, like they're all the same skills, right? Like, how do you talk to people? And honestly, if you have a bad customer and you have someone that you're never going to make happy, and we have had some people who will never make happy, there's a point where you do need to let a customer go because they can really impact a day. You know, you can have goals for happiness. But when a customer is never going to be happy no matter what, there, you know, that's an interesting discussion that we've had to have.
As Julie described the growing pains she and her business partner had faced to become the happiest place in writing, I recognize that Julie understood that online business is always changing. So what did the future have in store for online conferences? Julie gives us her take.
We're in a state of the unknown a little bit because I don't know if people are going to get sick of online conferences, you know, and I think that's a real worry of mine. So, you know, I mean, down the road, I would love to do something physical. I would love to have, you know, a physical space of some sort, a writing retreat, or a host of them. I mean, I think there's so many things that you could do. And I think that obviously, we want to grow our membership side. I mean, that's kind of a given. I would like to double the membership size in the next year. I think we can do that. You know, obviously keeping our faculty happy and involved, like you need to have numbers to keep that faculty there if they're going to put aside their time. So obviously that's really important to us. and double downing on the podcast and numbers. And for me, it's all about numbers. Like, how many numbers can you get to your email site? How many numbers can you get to your site? How many numbers can you have sales? And so I know that if I just keep doing what I'm doing and keep building those numbers, that we have the opportunity, whether it's next year with our processes in place and help, that we could go 50%. I mean, we could maybe. But like I said, I don't think it's really my strength, that business projections. And I think that's probably where I need help. You guys, get help. Just get help. Like, I can't say enough. Accelerators are the most amazing things that you can do for your business. And I don't know, do your listeners, they know what accelerators are, right?
Go ahead and explain it.
So an accelerator is when you join another group of entrepreneurs doing all kinds of different things. And they put you almost through like an MBA of entrepreneurship, and they stop you from making mistakes that you might make. And they help you hone, really the magic of your business. And they often are 8 to 15 weeks. The prices are fairly low. They're worth the money. They're worth the investment. My mentors that I had at the Top Gun Accelerator, I hired them afterwards. So I hired them for my new business. When I got started, they were a huge help. But those things, like, don't expect to be an expert at everything.
I completely share Julie's point of view that so many interesting opportunities come from the side hustles and side gigs that bring variety to our businesses. As our interview was nearing its end, I asked what message she wanted to leave us with.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting. I think being in Maine, you know, L.L. Bean has been such an amazing model, right? And you know, like, you can, if it doesn't work, they'll give you your money back, you know, they'll work with you. So I think, like, looking at L.L. Bean and looking at Zappos and then turning it to the digital age has worked. I believe it has worked. I don't think that stuff is rocket science. And I think I remember listening to Tony Hsieh. I was in Vegas on an entrepreneurial weekend, and sadly Tony Hsieh has died. He was the CEO of Zappos, but he was just really talking about what it means to be a good employee, what it means to be a good business person, and what it means to be a good customer service person. And it's all, Tony Hsieh told this story about someone called Zappos, and they're like, you know, I'm just having a bad day, I'm really hungry, and they ordered that person pizza, right? Like there is something to that. And I think writing is so passionate, and it's so passionate, and people have really, really hard days. So one of the new things I'll tell you guys here, one of the new things that we just hired is a minister of happiness. And the minister of happiness, you know, we're going to create a list. And if you just want to talk to someone, the minister of happiness is going to call you.
That's fantastic.
And so that's just, you know, like, someone we know that is just a really good listener, and she's psyched, I'm psyched, and I think that's going to actually really, you know, help everything.
Well, it's just really a testament to your belief in really good customer experiences that mm-hmm. you learned a long time ago and have implemented very successfully.
To learn more about the Manuscript Academy and to develop your writing skills online, visit manuscriptacademy.com or listen to the Manuscript Academy podcast.
Find more episodes of the Company Growth Podcast at anchor.fm/companygrowthpodcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a company growth story you'd like to share, reach out to Tangible Words. We'd love to hear your story and use it to inspire others to beat their own company growing pains. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Company Growth Podcast.